Macbeth by Joe Nesbo, read by Derek Riddell. Part 1. Chapter 1. The shiny raindrop fell from the sky, through the darkness towards the shivering lights of the port below. Cold gusting northwesterlies drove the raindrop over the dried-up riverbed that divided the town lengthwise and the disused railway line that divided it diagonally. The four quadrants of the town were numbered clockwise. Beyond that, they had no name. No name the inhabitants remembered, anyway. And if you met those same inhabitants a long way from home and asked them where they came from, they were likely to maintain they couldn't remember the name of the town either. The raindrop went from shiny to grey as it penetrated the soot and poison that lay like a constant lid of mist over the town. Despite the fact that in recent years the factories had closed one after the other. Despite the fact that the unemployed could no longer afford to light their stoves. In spite of the capricious but stormy wind and the incessant rain that some claimed hadn't started to fall until the Second World War had been ended by two atom bombs a quarter of a century ago. In other words, around the time Kenneth was installed as police commissioner. From his office on the top floor of Police HQ, Chief Commissioner Kenneth had then misruled the town with an iron fist for 25 years, irrespective of who the mayor was and what he was or wasn't doing, or what the powers that be were saying or not saying over in Capital. As the country's second largest and once most important industrial centre, sank into a quagmire of corruption, bankruptcies, crime and chaos. 6 months ago, Chief Commissioner Kenneth had fallen from a chair in his summer house. 3 weeks later, he was dead. The funeral had been paid for by the town, a council decision made long ago that Kenneth himself had incidentally engineered. After a funeral worthy of a dictator, the council and mayor had brought in Duncan, a broad-browed bishop's son and the head of organised crime in Capital, as the new chief commissioner. And hope had been kindled amongst the city's inhabitants. It had been a surprising appointment because Duncan didn't come from the old school of politically pragmatic officers, but from the new generation of well-educated police administrators who supported reforms, transparency, modernisation and the fight against corruption, which the majority of the town's elected get-rich-quick politicians did not. And the inhabitants hoped that they now had an upright, honest and visionary chief commissioner who could drag the town up from the quagmire had been nourished by Duncan's replacement of the old guard at the top with his own hand-picked officers, young, untarnished idealists who really wanted the town to become a better place to live